Good morning. Hi, everybody. And check me out, being consistent with my podcast, doing it every week for the last couple weeks. Yeah. And a shout out to my friend who made the snarfy face when I said I was going to try to do better and went, psh, because she knew me well enough to know that the word try is actually something I give people a hard time about. There ain't no try. I refer you to Yoda on this one. Anyway, here I am again doing another podcast. Whoop, whoop. Today I am going to talk about defense mechanisms and why you don't need to be so dang defensive about having defense mechanisms. One of the things that people do that I find annoying when they have just enough psychological know-how to use it against people is they'll notice someone being defensive and they'll say, "You're being defensive." You're being defensive. And let me tell you, there's nothing that makes people less defensive than calling them defensive, right? It's like makes them just stop being defensive. Nope. Doesn't really do that, does it? So why are people defensive? What are defense mechanisms? And why you don't need to feel so defensive about them? Basically, think about it. Why do we have defense mechanisms? We have defense mechanisms because we feel that we are under attack. Now, the problem with defense mechanisms is that if you're not really under attack and you're perceiving innocuous experiences as an attack, then you'll respond to them in a way that isn't congruent. So someone says, "Oh, is that what you're wearing? What do you mean? Yeah, obviously it's what I'm wearing." He's like, "Yeah, this is totally what I'm wearing, dude. Got a problem with it? You know, that's, you know, it's okay." If you don't feel that you either, if you erroneously perceive an attack where it is where there is no attack, or if you feel excessively offended by an actual offense, even, there's no reason to defend yourself if you realize either that it wasn't an attack, or that even if it was an attack, it doesn't have to hit its mark. We are defensive about the things that we ourselves feel afraid might be true. So, for instance, if someone said, "Is that what you're wearing?" and I feel insecure about my clothing choices, then I'll feel under attack. Whereas if someone says, "Is that what you're wearing?" and I do not feel insecure about my clothing choices, then I can let that be about them and say, "Oh, yeah, definitely is, as evidenced by the fact that it is on my body at this moment." That is the objective, observable evidence that it is what I am wearing. Now, if I even more so don't feel under attack or don't feel that the attack matters, I can say, and let's say I even care about this person's opinion, I can say, "Well, would you prefer I wore something else? Is there something about this ensemble that seems inappropriate or unappealing to you, in which case I would be willing to change," right? So, or I might say, "You know what, I don't know what your deal is, but I really like this outfit." So that is when there is nothing to defend, one is not defensive. So let's talk about some of the different kinds of defense mechanisms, some of which are more adaptive than others. For instance, I will let you in on a not too secret about me, which is that one of my favorite defense mechanisms is humor. Now, humor can in fact be a very adaptive sort of defense mechanism. Makes when I use humor, it makes me laugh. Sometimes it makes other people laugh. It dispels tension. It can do that. It also allows me to hold the sort of my own power, because I am not going into a state that is less adaptive. Now, so that particular defense mechanism used in judicious, prudent quantities can be very adaptive and helpful. On the other hand, if a person uses it to an extreme and won't let themselves ever get real about anything because they laugh everything off or make a joke out of something that is very serious in an effort to not feel feelings, then it can be less adaptive. It can be what we would call an overused strength. So you want to look at it from the perspective of, rather than being worried about whether or not other people have defense mechanisms, but rather look at your own defense mechanisms and see if they in any way interfere with your ability to get real with yourself. Getting real with yourself, why would you even want to do that? Well, because it actually can help you feel healthier psychologically over time. And it'll also help you get more in alignment with your own values and integrity. So it matters. You can ask yourself if it does matter and see what the upsides and downsides of getting real with yourself are. Far be it from me to tell people they have to get real with themselves, because they don't. But my experience has been that it's beneficial if you do. So another defense mechanism might be intellectualization. So intellectualization is when you don't let yourself feel and you just try to think your way out of every problem and just stay completely out of your feelings. Now, being able to intellectualize is not 100% bad. It has some downsides, which again has to do with it can be used to avoid feelings and therefore get you out of alignment with yourself. But it isn't so bad to sometimes be able to stay in your head when you need to be in your head. Sometimes you need to keep a game face. I am not great with a game face, won't lie. It's not my strength. But when I see someone who can, you know, get into their game face when they need to, I say, nope, hey, that's a strength. I'm going to take that back. I'm really good at a game face when I need a game face, but I'm not obsessed with it. So compartmentalizing is another defense mechanism that is akin to intellectualization. So compartmentalization is being able to basically put things aside when you need to put them aside. And just focus on something else. For instance, let's say you're going through kind of an emotional thing in your personal life, but you used to go to work and you get your job done and you focus on your work and you compartmentalize the emotional stuff going on in your personal life so you can go to your job, do your job, get your paycheck, go back home and deal with your stuff. Now, if you stay in compartmentalization all the time, what you're really doing is avoiding your feelings. And if you avoid your feelings for too long, they don't like that. Feelings say, hey, dude, you need to deal with me. And then they basically come out in the least opportune times. And that's when you have things like trauma reactions and flashbacks in an extreme case and things like that. It's when we push our feelings down and say, no, I will never, never, ever deal with you because you are a stupid, dumb feeling and I don't want to look at you. Then those feelings don't actually go away. They just kind of wait for a really crappy moment to mess with your head or, you know, manifest as negative self-talk or things like that. So compartmentalization, if it's all you do all the time, will have downsides. However, if you're willing to focus on what you need to focus on when you need to focus on it, and then return to dealing with your issues when you're ready and able to do so, then you can create a nice balance that way. So we don't have to sit around and wallow in our feelings all the time, because that would be actually not all that productive. But we also don't need to pretend that they don't matter forever and ever and ever. Either of those scenarios have significant negative consequences. My general philosophy of psychological, spiritual, whatever kind of health is that it's only a problem if it's a problem, and do what works. So if I really felt like it didn't have any negative consequences to compartmentalize or intellectualize or deflect using humor, if there were no downside to any of those, then I would say, cool, just do that all the time. But there are objectively downsides to it. So I think it's about balance, right? It's about the balance between being present in what you need to deal with without feeling like you have to stay focused on any one thing all the time in order to be safe or correct. Let's see, what are some other defense mechanisms that are not so adaptive? Projection. Projection, I would say, is generally speaking a really crap defense mechanism. So it's when you feel a certain way and you decide that the other person feels that way instead of realizing, you know, owning your own stuff. Or here's a classic example of a kind of projection that, for instance, when people are jealous of if you're jealous of another person, and for whatever reason, jealousy feels like really embarrassing for people to feel. And so if you're jealous of another person, one kind of projection is to think that they are bad or stupid or have stuck up or whatever the different thing is, because we want to diminish them in order to not feel the pain of our own jealousy. Then in that way we're in a sense creating separation between ourselves and another person based on our own feelings of inadequacy. So what we're defending against in that moment, in the concept of, you know, what a defense mechanism is, a belief that one needs to defend oneself. And so what we're defending against in that scenario is we're defending against our own feelings of inadequacy. And so we project them onto the other person. We might assume that they think we are inadequate, and then we think they are jerks for thinking we're inadequate, when in fact they might be thinking about their grocery list and what time is my pedicure. So keep that in mind. So you're projecting, and then you think they're a bad person because they're judging you, when in fact you're just judging yourself. And then you will be mad at them for judging you, and then they will likely not like you because they'll pick up on the vibe of that person is just kind of being mean to me, or that person is judging me or whatever. So that's where a defense mechanism can actually cause conflict. That's an example. So there's denial. Denial is a defense mechanism that, again, I would say is maladaptive. Denial is when I, on some level, think that it is so bad for me to have a certain feeling or thought or whatever that I pretend I don't have it. Now, if pretending we didn't have feelings and thoughts made them go away, I guess I would teach people how to pretend that things weren't real all day long and pay and charge for that. I wouldn't have to charge extra for that, though, because that's what people do a lot of times anyway, so it would be really easy. trying to sell people their own shoes. They already have them. I don't have to keep an inventory in order to sell people their own shoes. That was obscure. That was an obscure reference, even for me. But okay. So the reason why it isn't necessary to feel defensive about your defense mechanisms is that, you know, just realize that if you notice your own defense mechanisms in some way, you can be aware, is this adaptive? Is it maladaptive? And then more importantly, what do I believe is under attack? What am I imagining is under attack right now? Why do I believe I need to defend myself? And unless somebody's actually coming at you with, brass knuckles, you're not really ever under attack. Or at least, even if you are under attack, you don't have to let the attack hit its mark. You can kind of matrix out of that just like do a little matrix backbend and ignore other people's attacks, because very often their attacks, when it's like an emotional or psychological attack, their attack is a manifestation of their own feelings of inadequacy in one way or another. So noticing your own defense mechanisms, and then also noticing if you notice defense mechanisms in other people, rather than thinking, you're defensive, you can think, I wonder what the heck they think is under attack right now. What do they think is being attacked? And some people are going to be willing to step into a self-reflection on that. Some people will not, which is none of your concern ultimately. But you can be more aware of why they are acting the way they are, and rather than calling them out, you're defensive. it's like, yeah, I'm defensive. I must think I'm under attack. Let me figure out what that's about, you know? So keep that in mind. You know, defense mechanisms are just the way that we cope, and they can be on a spectrum of effectiveness. And rather than making yourself feel bad about having them, just go, oh yeah, what's that about? Anyway, so that's a little blurb today about defense mechanisms and why, you know, don't worry about them, but use them as an opportunity to go, what am I defending? And if, like me, one of your favorite defense mechanisms is humor, go for it, baby. Get you a stand-up career or something. But then if you notice that you are using it to such an extreme that you pretend important, significant things don't matter and you laugh about them, well, you know, that's probably a sign that you're really, really afraid of your feelings. So one way to look at it is you have your feelings are in there, your feelings, your fears, your all your different things, your shame feelings, and all of the feelings that are in there, they're really in there, even if you ignore them. So it makes sense to go ahead and take a look at them so that you can potentially resolve them so that they are not in there doing behind the scenes mind effery on you. Ignoring your feelings does not make them go away. In fact, quite the opposite. It turns them into little guerrilla warriors that jump out at you right when you least expect it. So keep in mind those things that you might be ignoring or denying in yourself are there, even if you don't look at them. And a good analogy is like we get so afraid of the monster in the closet that we never open the closet, and we in our imaginations that monster gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and I'm so afraid of that monster that's in the closet. Well, the best thing to do is just to go up to that closet, open it up, turn the light switch on, and go, oh, that's the monster? Oh, well, is that a monster or is that just my coat on a chair? Oh, that's weird. Maybe I'll just put that coat away. Okay. Yeah, maybe I'll even leave the closet door open a little bit. Leave that light on, take a peek in a few more times. Might not even really be a monster in there. Okay, so best wishes and best hopes and best all the good feelings that I'm having for everyone, and especially the people who are listening to my podcast. Thank you so much. I am glad to get the opportunity to say some stuff, and I will talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.